I don't think Chris is kidding, and I don't think anybody else has been kidding. And Taylor, of all people, has not been kidding. He came off the top rope with a coward call.
Yeah.
You just sat down. He's like, oh, no, he's lying.
Yeah, he's a bad person.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, maybe he just really needed a day off.
What would you call somebody who lies about calling in sick to avoid fulfilling the obligations of a bet?
That's a very good question.
Bad person.
Questionable value.
Bad person.
I think that's probably a more a softer way to say what you're
saying.
That's
just a euphemism for bad person.
Yeah, just somebody that maybe isn't fully committed to their craft. Somebody that doesn't understand. Like this is one of my favorite quotes. Doing your job on the day, or no, I screwed it up. That's how much I like it. Being a professional means doing your job on the day you don't feel like doing it.
Mm.
That's why they pay. The easy day, sure. Come in here and talk about the Rams winning the Super Bowl, Lakers winning a championship. Those are the easy ones. The ones they're paying you for are when you lose to the Sacramento Kings and your producer is a Sacramento Kings fan who has a Mike Bibby jersey waiting for you and just
you
can't
don't
stomach
show up.
The thought.
Because right, you're a person of low moral character. Do you think this is a side that Lady Slee gets to see, or does he hide it from her?
Well, I mean, I would assume you can only keep up a facade for so long. You can only present your best face for a period of time before eventually whoever you are, good, bad, anywhere in between, they get to see it all, right? I mean, and what is that? Is that a couple of months? Before
I don't know. I don't know. But like Alan
You're
could
married?
Be really
You've
good
been
at
married
this.
For a long
but
time.
We already established. I don't even try. I'm sure I get in trouble for things that I don't even know if I did because my memory is so bad.
So
they sound like I could have done them, but I don't know if I did it.
Your memory thing reminded me of something that, okay, I do a thing that is a genuinely bad guy thing to do, but it deeply amuses me. So I do it anyway. I introduce myself to people that I've met multiple times that I know I've met multiple times, but I do it because I know it bothers them. Yeah, hey, I'm Travis. Nice to meet you. Yeah, I don't even want to say the right name.
Every morning he introduces himself to Sliwa.
There's like three guys that I do it to a lot, and they don't know that I'm doing it on purpose. They genuinely think that I've forgotten.
That's a great bit.
And I love it.
That's a great bit.
I love it.
Great bit.
And Susan will like, you can't do that. They think you're so rude. I'm like, that's why it's awesome. What don't you understand about this? The look on his face every time I extend my hand and introduce myself is this defeated, crestfallen look that I love.
And it also keeps your circle nice and manicured. Because we're all old and like, my dad is like this. He's like, and you know, you're an old person.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's like, I got enough friends. Like, I'm 77 years old. I need to be adding people to my sphere at this point.
I'm good. Like, I have my bucket is full.
Right.
And if the little splashes out now and again,
I don't need to refill it. You're like the club. It's a strict one in, one out policy. So if someone dies, not that we're wishing it.
Well, not everybody.
Then someone else, Travis, can make a new friend.
Ireland has a great thing that I've adopted as my own as well. He goes, look, if you're not in my phone by now, I don't need to know you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a pretty good way to do it. I'm good, but Susan will do this thing. Okay, we're going to this party. You know this person. I don't. She's like, you've met him several times. And this one, I don't. I know you told me that we were on the same soccer team when the kids were seven. Well, he's 22 now. I don't remember who these people are.
Right.
You're gonna have to fill me in on this.
And I can't remember the names of adults.
No.
I can generally remember who you belong to and why I know you and, you know, oh, you're a priest.
You're Sarah's mom.
Yeah, you're my daughter's preschool. This, that, but like, I don't remember your names. And
what's your remedy for that? I go full deep end. I would say, I'm really sorry. I don't remember your name. I'm sorry.
Yes, I do it. Yeah. I reintroduce myself and say, I don't know.
We've met before, but I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry. And I'm really bad at this.
And I've never gotten a bad result.
Or I just avoid saying their name.
I love introducing myself.
Hey, buddy.
The look, it's one of these. I'm going to try to recreate it. I just said, really? We're doing this again? Like, yeah. And I'm super enthusiastic. Like, hey, how you doing? I'm Travis. Nice to meet you. I love it. It's just the little petty things in life that make me very, very happy.
It's going to help you live to be 112.
Oh, the more people hate you, the longer you go. That's the rule.
Well, I mean, nothing is pettier than living well beyond your anybody.
Look,
the time
second
anybody
I'm
wants
out
you.
Of money, get rid of me.
My great grandmother was a tremendously awful person.
Oh,
lived to be like 98, 99.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then just bitter to the very end.
Told my mom on her wedding day, white wasn't her color.
Oh my, yeah. That's aggressive.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like
her thing. And granted, English was not her native language, but okay. she'd been in the country for a long time. She spoke and understood perfectly well. She was not
Sammy Sosa.
You call her before Congress, nobody was going to be able to say. So her thing, when she would go out and she would come home and she would say, "Guess who saw me today?" Not get normal people say, "You'll never guess who I ran into."
Right. Guess who saw me.
Guess who saw me today.
Yeah.
She was that self-absorbed and narcissistic.
I like that.
Guess who saw me today.
Guess who's going to be seeing a lot
guess
of Travis.
Guess who saw me today. She said to my grandfather, she said, a good son would buy his mother a house in the Florida.
I've heard that story before. The Florida is the part that brings me back to that.
Yep.
1971, December 22nd, 1971. The Lakers won their 27th consecutive game that set the North American major pro sports record. Of course, it went on to be a 33-game winning streak, which really is stunning when you stop and think about it.
I don't see them breaking that this year.
Not this year. No. I don't like their chances. 28 in a row, the Warriors. They got close. That was in 2015. The Heat won 27, 2013. The Rockets, 22. Which, by the way, you win 22 games in a row, and you basically can't lose for another month. That's kind of
you're
the rule.
Two-thirds of the way there.
That has to be up there, right?
It'll never be broken in part because nobody plays their players 33 games in a row anymore. You know, it just doesn't happen. It's like baseball records that won't be broken, Cy Young pitching 526 innings one season.
Yeah, no, those endurance ones are not coming back. But is there not just a mathematical – we obviously have to be very, very good. You have to be kind of into – like, for instance, go back to the Warriors for a second. The year they won – they clearly wanted to win 73 games.
Yes.
That was a goal of theirs, and – we know what I did win the championship, which is makes it a footnote rather than greatest season of all time. But it would have to be a team that's got young players that says, let's win 16, 17 in a row. And you say, you know what? Let's keep this thing going.
At the risk of offending the old timers out there, Travis, I also think, like, you know, what was it, J.J. Redick referred to players from that era? They're all, like, plumbers and handymen. So if you happen to have, like, the eight players in the league that aren't plumbers and handymen, you're going to win a lot. And so, I mean, they had some dudes on that team.
So that's more – you're arguing more of a function of the opponents than –
They were very good. I think it was probably easy. I don't think the depth in the league was like it is now. Like, even the terrible teams in the NBA have two or three players where you look at it. Like, the Rockets have guys where you're like, you know, Jabari Smith and Kevin Porter play really well tomorrow. They could win that game.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's got a few of those guys. I think in the 70s, they didn't. They all looked like us. Like, if you look at trading cards of players from that era, the guys who were, like, 26 years old looked like they were 40.
With mustaches and sideburns.
They look like your dad was playing.
That's what it was. They all look like your dads, right? Even the guys that were really good had a certain dad vibe to them. Like, you find, like, a John Havlicek or something like that. It's like, yeah, that could have been my dad.
They never worked out a day in their life.
Wilt Chamberlain, you're like, what in the world is going on here?
He had a season.
He's ripped, and he's enormous, and he's just killing guys.
I forget the exact number, but I think he had a season where he averaged 50 and 20.
Yeah,
I know he had a 50 season.
Is that good?
Well, can you imagine holding a guy to 46 and 18 and being like, I did a good job?
Michael told me something I've never forgotten, and it's I don't think it's ever failed me. If the question is who is the only, the answer is always Wilt Chamberlain. It's always Wilt Chamberlain. If the question is who is the only NBA player to, the answer is Wilt Chamberlain.
In 1961-62, Wilt Chamberlain averaged 50.5 points per game. And 26 rebounds.
Okay. But to your point, somebody built and that looks like me was guarding him for 50 games that year.
Right. Interestingly enough, he, this is Kobe-esque, he averaged 40 field goals a night.
That's quite a few.
Google attempts. he only shot 50%.
Well, 50% when you're taking nothing but shots from 3 feet from the goal, that's not a bad way to go about it.
If you're averaging 50 points a game and you're 7-1, 275 in 1962, you would have a higher field goal percentage.
89% field goal percentage.
That's actually not as good as I would have thought.
Our NFL picks against the spread. Did we get Slee's picks, Emily, or are we just going to have BK be his stand-in?
BK could be his
proxy.
Yeah.
All right, you get to pick for Al, so try to tank on purpose. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I'm trying to educate you on hair systems, toupees, pieces. Right. I'm going to do it. I need someone to hook me up.
I can't do it. Like, you at least have some hair. But you could integrate some hair into what you're. I have been doing this for way too long.
But I don't want to like walk it back. I just want to show up one day. Like, I want to go from this to Gabe Kaplan. I want to go full
Fabio.
Piece.
Yes.
Flowing
locks.
Like, you know what it needs to be? I need to do it, like, take a vacation. Like, be gone for a week in the middle of the summer. Leave looking like this and come back like, I just grew it out a little bit.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
Well, I mean, I was on
Would you
vacation.
Get salt and pepper or just brown hair?
I kind of like the fact that my hair is a little gray. I don't mind the gray as much as I don't like the fact that there's not much hair. Full stop.
Bright red.
Yeah.
Just go bright
carrot
red.
Carrot top?
Sure.
Yeah, I could. Well, I mean, we can workshop this. Maybe I'll get a whole system together. All right. Week 16. Here's where we are. Emily, you did not close the gap. We both had terrible weeks. I'm still on the top. I have 78 points. Emily is in second place with 75. Al's in third, 65. Taylor. I can't read my own writing. Taylor is at 56.
Do you need to read your writing to know the name of the guy?
Says, it says Tyler on the sheet. I know his name is Taylor, but they're both sit there. So it's very confusing. It's my fault. I take full responsibility.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was wrong. Please forgive me.
Yes, that's what it is. Taylor, you are going first today. The first game, as always, the Rams are at home. I just think you all need to take this in for a second. The Rams are 2.5 points of an underdog at home against a 4-win team. Denver, 2.5 point favorite at SoFi. Taylor, who you got?
I don't know. Something tells me they're going to pull this out. Christmas miracle. Rams at my one, though.
Rams at one. Brian.
I'm into this. I will say Rams.
Okay.
Feeling the Baker Mayfield experience.
Sure.
I'm gonna make it my two, and I might make four games my two because I don't understand what I'm doing.
you can only use the number one time. Right. So and now if, two is off the board.
Okay. And if Liar Allen wishes I did a better job, he should show up to work.
Emily.
All right. So I don't trust Russell Wilson whatsoever. So I have the Rams at my one.
All right. So this is the surest way to make sure that Denver wins this thing is for me to pick the Rams. Whenever it's everybody on one side, it almost always goes the other way. I'm not a Russell Wilson guy. This is really the last decent chance the Rams have to win a game this year. The problem is they don't have any players. They're all, they had two more guys go down for the rest of the year earlier this week. That makes, I believe, 11.
Now, are they actually injured? Or are they Sliwa injured?
They could be Sliified. It could be a right. Sli special. I don't know if they're going to show up for like training table afterwards and they can't eat. But all of that being said, I'm going to take the Rams at number one as well. Brian, you're going first on this next one.
All right.
The Las Vegas Raiders on the road. It's the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception in Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 2.5-point favorites.
Steelers, sorry, Emily, aren't very good.
Nope.
I'm not going to deny that.
I don't know if they're going to throw them the ball at the end, though. I will say the Raiders, but I'm going to make that my four.
Oh, that means you like that the most, just so you understand.
I'm going to make that my one.
There you go. I had a feeling that that might have been.
Why wouldn't one be your most confident?
Because one, if you win the game, you only get 1 point. If you win the 4 point game, you get 4 points. The idea is to collect points.
Okay, so it's not like golf.
It's not like golf. Okay. Bigger numbers are better.
In
this
America.
Game.
We yeah. like big points.
Emily.
Okay, going to be a homer. Going to pick the Steelers, but it's also the. You know, it's going to be a very sad, emotional weekend in Pittsburgh. I think that that's going to kind of motivate these guys, even if they didn't know Franco didn't ever be around him. I think it's going to be something that they want to win for Pittsburgh. Steelers at my three.
All right, Pittsburgh at three. My turn. I'm going to take the Steelers as well for the reasons that you mentioned. And the Raiders can't stand nice things. The Raiders are gifted this thing that happened last week. They're not really in the playoff picture, but they're kind of in the playoff picture. They still have a mathematical pulse. The Steelers, while not good, I agree with you, BK, they're also really well coached, and they go out there and they do the things that they're being asked to do more often than not. You can't say the same thing about the Raiders, so I'm going to take the Steelers all the way at the top with number four, Taylor.
I agree with Emily. I think the Steelers are going to win for Franco, and the Raiders are going to Raider, so I'm going to put them at my four as well.
Oh, boy, I'm dead meat. Anytime Taylor piggybacks, you're in big, big trouble. All right, next game. Brian, you're first on this one. No, you went first on the last one.
I went first last time.
Emily, you're first on this one. Chargers on the road Monday night in Indy. Chargers are 4.5-point road favorites.
Okay, so I don't know if I want to go game theory here or if I want to go act with the pick that I think is going to win, but I think it's going to be – I'm going to put my Chargers at my four. That's really who I think is going to win. I do think that everyone else is going to pick the same thing, and so therefore it's not going to do anything for me long term. But Chargers at my four.
Well, I'm going to kind of piggyback what you said. I'm going to take the Chargers, too, at number two because, they actually looked really good last week. Did they play Tennessee? They looked good. The week before that, they played Miami. They looked good. They've looked good a couple of weeks in a row. I'm going to regret saying this, but it looks like they figured some things out along the way. So give me the Chargers. Taylor.
I wrote these down before, guys. Got the Chargers, too, at three.
Gosh, dang it.
Chargers at three. BK.
If I seem distracted, it's because Michael Thompson is yelling at me, livid about the things I said about old-timey players.
Plumbers and repairmen.
Yes, he is very upset. I the Chargers as my fantasy defense this week in the playoffs. No Jonathan Taylor. He's not playing.
Right.
Everything is set up for the Chargers to dominate and make a statement, which of course means they're going to completely charger the bed. That said, I will take them as my four because I don't know what the other game is.
All right. Well, with that in mind, let's go to our final game. Dallas and Philadelphia, which is a little bit different because Jalen Hurts will not be involved. It'll be a Gardner Minshew joint coming up. In Dallas, 5.5-point favorite against Philadelphia. I'm going first here. Am I crazy? I don't think the Cowboys don't stink, but I don't think they're very good either. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it is. I do think Philly's really good. I think Minshew is kind of what you're hoping for in a backup quarterback. He can keep it moving. He's not going to kill you. Plus, it's Gardner Minshew with the stash, right? So you got to put that in there. I'm going to take Philly at my three, and that brings us to you, Taylor.
I got the Cowboys winning this. I'm going to put them on my two.
Dallas at two for Taylor. Emily. Oh, no,
okay.
I'm sorry. Brian's next.
Okay.
I detest the Cowboys. So the answer is Philly, and I think I have three left.
You do.
And it's because Gardner Minshew has a killer mustache.
He really does. And by the way, we'll talk about this.
I feel like I
have
more confidence in a guy in the huddle if he had a mustache.
It seems it's very what's the word I want? Not swashbuckling, but it kind of swashbuckling a little bit along the way. Emily, what do you got?
I'm doing this purely so that I get some points on you this weekend, Travis. I'm going Cowboys at my two. Don't like it. I wouldn't have picked it otherwise, but I just don't want to lose.
So you see this little grid that I put together here, BK? You notice how there's no names, no games written down under Sliwa? It's because he didn't come to work.
He's not
today.
Here. He's a lying liar who tells lies.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. Is Gardner Minshew, does he not have the best job in all of sports? Because you get quarterback money, sort of. You don't get starting quarterback money. You're not getting Mahomes money.
What's the minimum in the NFL?
I bet you, and we could look this up, Gardner Minshew has to make at least $1 million, right? At least. And it's probably more than that. There are no expectations other than just go in there and don't be terrible. And even if you are terrible, it's probably not your fault. What does he make?
In 2022, Gardner Minshew will earn a base salary of $2.54 million.
Perfect. So he makes $2.5 million. He makes $2.5 million to not play, to be the quarterback, walk around with the stash, and be like, yeah, quarterback of the
Eagles. I'm available.
Quarterback of the Eagles.
He gets all the shorts and the T-shirts and the swag and everything.
To tell me a better job in pro sports than being
backup quarterback. Backup quarterback to a good quarterback. That way you never – a good and durable quarterback. Who was it? Jim Soshi or whatever was Peyton Manning's guy.
Oh, Peyton Manning's guy, yeah.
Backup for years.
Jim Sorge.
Yeah.
Chase Daniel, who's Justin Herbert's backup, I believe, has banked like $40 right. million and played in 10 games.
The key is to put yourself on a team where nobody ever finds out whether or not you're good. Like Jim Sorge might not have been able to complete a forward pass. Nobody knew because Peyton Manning played every single game.
I have one other job that I'd like to throw in there. Now, it's not glamorous. Like Gardner Minshew can walk into a place. He's a member of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
There's a situation where he could become a hero, right? We saw it with Nick Foles, right? It's not unprecedented where the backup becomes a very important part of what you're doing. A little cachet to that. The job that I'm about to throw out there does not have that possibility. However, you travel in relative style occasionally. You go to the best cities in this country, but to the nicest part of the best cities of this country. You are always in warm weather, and your job just consists of taking long walks. Is caddy to PGA Tour superstar not an unbelievable? Like, if I'm not saying like rank and file guy where you're sweating whether your guy's going to make the cut. Being Phil Mickelson's caddy, being Tiger Woods, being any of those top 30 guys on tour, being their guy, being Rory McIlroy's caddy. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, because that guy probably makes
hundreds of thousands at the low end.
300 or 400
at least
thousand a year.
At least.
And like this is one of the things that you have to remind, like when you work in and around sports as we have, you lose touch with what salaries. We say, well, they got that guy cheap. Gardner Minshew doesn't make that much money.
$2.5 million
which is a year.
10 times more than probably the vast majority of the people that are listening to us right now make. Probably 20 times more than a lot of people are
listening. Wouldn't make in a decade or two decades or three. Like we forget, like when a guy goes and plays 4 months in South Korea and banks like $380,000, we're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Nobody makes $380,000 in this country. They're like nine people in this country make that kind of money. And we poo-poo it because we work in sports. But, of course, we're radio hosts.
Yes.
So we're in that group.
We're near people who make money like that. We're not of them. Right. We're near them.
We're putting the peppermint bark that they're putting in the alleys so we can repackage it and put it under a tree at home. So we don't have to buy it ourselves.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's what Alan is doing.
Perhaps.
So,
Brian.
That's a good gig.
What if I told you, you're going to make, let's say you're going to make $400,000.
Yeah. Carry your bag.
You're going to take a long, and here's what you need to know. You can't be late. Mm-hmm. Don't argue with me and offer positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement. And you have to be honest. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who was like, I forget, they played this clip, and the caddy was like, very gently was like, I think what you're doing is a bad idea. Like this, the clip went viral and he's like, and he actually said, this one's on me.
Yeah.
And he put the ball exactly where the caddy said he was going to. He was like hitting the ball out of the fairway bunker. And he's like, caddy's like, I think this is probably going to end up,
hey, what about the seven instead of the six? And he, I think the seven's the play here.
And he said, you know what I think? Because all these guys think they can hit
I think
any
it was
shot.
Justin Spieth or Jordan Spieth.
Jordan Spieth. And he's like, this one's on me. And he did it exactly. I mean, like that's actually, I think, probably the best outcome.
Yeah.
And now Spieth looks at him and says, like, this guy's really good.
And when he decides he's going to do what he's going to do, you go, all right, boss, let's hit a good one.
Right.
That's it.
That's
it. Put a good swing on it, boss. That's the job for hundreds of thousands. Hey, we're going to go to Riviera this week. Hey, we're going to go to LACC. Hey, we got to go to Florida, hang out at Arnold's place. Hey, we're going to go to Jack's
place. It's a little like being a radio producer.
It's unbelievable.
Like Travis says, we're going to do this segment. All right. Give it a good swing, boss.
But the radio producer doesn't get to fly on the G5.
No.
The radio producer.
That's what you think.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you have a secret life that I don't know about. But caddy sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Keep one end of the towel wet, keep the other end dry, and keep a couple of granola bars
in
your bag.
You know what I saw? It popped up on my Facebook feed, and I was like, normally I don't like these things because I don't want any of the stuff. It was a golf towel with a magnet on it. So you don't even have to bend down to pick up your towel on the ground. You just stick your club on it, and it sticks to your club, and you pick it up, and then you can wipe your club and all that, and you throw it back in the bag. You don't even have to aim. Just throw it at your bag, and it's going to stick to something.
See, when you're a real cat, you catch the ball in your towel, and you're already ready.
Oh, no, that's good.
I'm ready. I know how to do these things. I know all
you
the vernacular.
You actually do have a certain catty look to you.
But here's what you got to be able to do, too.
Right.
You gotta, when the boss wants to go drinking, you got to go drinking. Okay. Hey, I need you to go make sure that she knows that I'm on the tour.
Generally speaking, you got to swing it a little bit. You got to be able to play a little golf. Yeah,
I can keep up. Hey, any tour play, I need you like in the top 20. Outside of the top 20, I don't want to have to hustle.
Right.
I want the stuff. I want all the stuff.
The quality of life.
Lincoln Riley has not played his first bowl game as USC head coach, but he's already running his mouth, and I love it. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, I want to get to Lincoln Riley in a second, but we were kind of just chit-chatting a little during the break, and we got on Carlos Correa somehow. I think we got a little clarity on what happened over the last day or so, because it was weird when you just – yesterday morning you wake up and all of a sudden Carlos Correa's on the Mets after a 13-year deal with the Giants. They're getting ready to do a press conference. There's a little something – hey, there's something going on with the medical that they want to take a look at, and then – the next day he's on the Mets for a one fewer year and 35 fewer million dollars.
You better be quicker than that.
It's still pretty amazing. So there are two theories here, right? There's the theory that the Giants had a legitimate concern about something that they saw and said, hey, can we look at this again? Let's hit pause on this for a second. And then the Mets kind of came at the last minute and said, hey, we're good with it. Let's go. Okay. In that case, the Giants feel terrible about what happened. They had their guy poached from them, et cetera, et cetera. But what the reporting today is saying is that the Giants were concerned about an ankle injury that he had in 2014.
Ooh.
Okay? So an ankle, 2014, by the way, I looked at Carlos Correa has had in his career has had 1 year where he did not play basically every day.
That's what I was looking up.
Yeah, there's 1 year where he played about half, slightly less than half the games in a season. Otherwise, he plays the regular amount of Major League Baseball.
136 last year, 148 the year before.
Yep. And you go on down the line, he's really only had one season that was injury-riddled. 2014, an ankle injury. The Giants are thrilled that the Mets came in and took him away. This was their exit ramp. They took it, and somebody went in and did it. This because 2014, it's 9 years ago.
He wasn't even in the major. He was 19 years old.
He was
19.
Teenager.
Yes.
This is a this whole idea that, hey, did they get poached? The Giants wanted out. They had that moment of sobriety the next day. Say, wait, we bought what? For how much? This is a terrible
Carlos
deal.
Carlos Correa until he's 40.
Right. And so that they're out of it, this is not the Giant fans being devastated by what happened. This is the Giants being thrilled they were able to dupe someone else into taking this guy.
I mean, like, I look at all these deals and I think they're all kind of insane. That feels, of all these, like, you know, Aaron Judge.
I think it's the second worst one.
Bogarts
is the worst.
Right. Okay.
But they're by a hair. The only money that's gotten thrown around in the last, you know, 2 weeks or so since the hot stove heated up and all that, the only one I'm like, I wish the Dodgers would have done that. It's like literally same amount of years, same amount of dollars was Verlander. The rest of them, because it's 2 years. Even if it's a disaster from the jump, we're out of this in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Those other ones are, and I would have taken Trey Turner at the same numbers too, but they obviously feel differently. It is.
Yeah, that one stung.
It doesn't work. Like when you look, and you've obviously covered the NBA for a long time, but you've been a sports fan forever. I can think of one or two instances where the guy that goes out and buys all the players at these crazy expensive numbers gets what you're looking for. One of the teams, it's the Rams last year. It's very rare. We like, take all my picks. We'll take all the players. We're going to give you a new deal and you a new deal and you a new deal. And it hits. It hit for the Rams.
It's because winning is really hard. And there's so many things that go into it. And buying players of that caliber is an incredibly inefficient way to do it. And, you know, so for most owners, and this to me is what's fascinating about the whole Phoenix Suns selling for $4 billion thing, because the Lakers are probably worth, on the open market, probably at least double that. But the person who bought him is this venture capitalist guy that, you know, healthcare VC that we've never heard of, but is in another class. Like Jeannie Buss and the Buss family are incredibly rich people. But they're not
like that.
Like if they didn't own the Lakers, they wouldn't be buying the Lakers, buying the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
They don't have that kind of money. And the amount of people that are in the league, in any league now, that are old of that generation of ownership. I guess in the NBA, it's like the Lakers and Herb Simon.
Yeah.
And even in baseball, like the guy who is bought the Padres,
Peter Seidler,
clearly doesn't necessarily care about operating at a profit, at least for now.
Right.
But at some point he might. Well, if this doesn't work, he might.
The ego play, and that's what Seidler or Cohen or any of these guys are doing, right? That it's this, hey, I want to win. I want to make a big splash. I want to do it right now. Give me Trey Turner. Give me, you know, Soto. Give me Bogarts. Give me all of these guys, and I'll pay whatever the going rate is. I'll pay you that plus a premium to get you to come to my team. Great. If the Padres, Mets, one of these teams, Phillies, that gave out a big deal, they win a World Series in the first couple of years, you can argue that it's worth it, much like what the Rams did. They went all in on all of these things, and it hit. They've had a five-year run where they went to two Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl, were in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. They were exciting. It was fun. It was a great little run, but you're starting to see the bill come due. It's worth it. There's not a Rams fan out there that's like, well, why did we do that? You just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But if you go through 3 or 4 years of the Padres or of the Mets and you are doing what the Dodgers have done, where you're not winning World Series, you're in it, you're kind of in the mix, but you're not punching your ticket, you can only do that for so long. I'm not going to continue to sign crazy deals.
What's the stat, I forget what it is, of the amount of times that the team with the best record wins the World Series in baseball?
It's less than half.
It's way less than half. Way less. And I think it's like under a third.
It might be.
Baseball especially. Basketball, I mean, I would say today, you know, used to be, you know, you got LeBron, Anthony Davis, whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, those guys need to be able to be on the floor.
The team with the best record is almost always in the final four.
One or two guys. Yeah. This year is strange because there is so much parity. But generally speaking, historically, you can predict the five teams that are going to be there at the end if guys are healthy. Baseball, you can't do that. Mm-mm. And so, like, when people say, well, the Dodgers are a failure, they've only won one World Series. And what would you do differently? Do it exactly the. What they should do is exactly what they've been doing, except baseball. There's just no
The Dodgers
guarantee.
Are fascinating because here's what's left. Okay, and this isn't everybody. I'm talking about like the headliner names, right? Uh-huh. The bold names in this thing. Trey Turner is gone. He was one of your best players. Justin Turner is gone. He wasn't one of your best players, but he's one of your most important players.
Right. And played pretty well down the stretch.
And absolutely, yes. Was a good player. Cody Bellinger is... I don't know what that's going to be moving
handsome.
Forward, but very handsome and a good defensive player and a guy that may or may not find it again, but an impactful member of your team.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Heaney is gone. Pitched a lot for you last year. Tyler Anderson is gone. Pitched a lot for you last year. Here's what's come in. Noah Syndergaard, who, okay, let's see, maybe. You've got Jason Hayward, who's on a minor league deal. And you've got J.D. Martinez, who's on a short-term, relatively modest, again, to sports dollars, relatively modest deal. This is not what the Dodgers have done. This is dramatically different than what they've done.
It is and it isn't. What the Dodgers are not is nostalgic.
No.
They cut the cord on players when they think it needs to be. Now, it may not have lined up exactly this year. Like, they might take a step back because they've always looked at the long term and said, is this a deal that we want to be involved in for the next 10 years, 8 years, whatever? And a lot of times they say no, particularly when it comes to pitchers. And so broadly, like, in the sense of the Dodgers will always spend, they'll always make the big move. Maybe they're pulling back because they didn't feel like whatever moves were out there, whatever dollars were there, fit their rubric that they use every single year that has worked very well. But the part of it that does fit their profile is we are not going to make emotional choices. Justin Turner is an emotional part of our team, but the cost benefit isn't there anymore, and eventually got to say no.
Those are tough because you look at a guy like Trey Turner, and that's where I think the rubric you're talking about is where, hey, look, this is what we're comfortable spending, and this is how long we're comfortable spending it for. If someone goes above and beyond that, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Turner, I thought, may be the exception to the rule. I thought Justin Turner might get the Kershaw treatment because Kershaw is still very, very good. He's not peak Kershaw, but
right.
He's very useful. Better than that. He started the All-Star game last year and should have. It was a very good season, but you know he's going to go down a couple of times. Justin Turner, I think, is the equivalent of that as a position player. He's still above league average. He can give it, but he's got an incredible amount of presence. He's incredibly popular amongst Dodger fans. I was surprised that they didn't go, and you know what? This doesn't fit the rubric exactly, but it's close enough, and what's one more year?
Right, because he only got two and 21.
Yeah.
And that's different than Trey Turner getting $300 million for, what was it, 11 years?
Yeah.
I
was surprised that one.
But if Kershaw said, "I need 3 years," he'd have been gone 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's because everybody is content. They all know the rules. Like if Kershaw, like you can, we will put. I'm sure they've said this to him. As long as you want to play, we will allow. We will do unless assuming you're not terrible,
right?
But as long as you're capable of playing and want to do, we will give you a contract. We'll offer to you, but it's going to be the same deal every year. It's going to be 1 year, $20 million, 1 year, $18 million. The minute you ask for three, Godspeed, you know, we'll build you a statue.
You think they do that with Kershaw?
Now,
if he asked for three. If he would have asked for four 2 years ago.
I think they would have said it.
You
goodbye.
Think so?
Yes.
I wonder. Clearly, they have their methodology. Clearly. But is nobody above the methodology?
No. Nobody is above the methodology. Nobody.
That kind of bums me out a little bit.
It is. They say on Seinfeld, it is the policy. Yeah. Nobody is above the policy.
But it's your bodega.
Right. It's just the policy.
The super crosstalk in the dump. Coming up next, it's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
All right, so I'm going to start the dump with this because it's been weighing on me all show.
Okay.
So I know we always get a lot of content out of LeBron's social media because, you know, he tends to do some interesting things with his social media that is his own business,
I guess.
Interesting
is in quotes, right?
Yes, it's okay. In quotes. So LeBron yesterday posted a picture in which he was taking shots in an empty Kings arena. And then the photo is just a big shot of the entire Kings arena. And then up in the corner where it would be Kings is what it should say.
The team name.
Yes, the team name. He scribbled out the S in King to say King. And then, you know, just so because he's the King.
I thought that was funny.
That's very LeBron.
I thought it was funny.
I feel so contrived. It's just.
It is.
You know, I'm in a weird spot with LeBron James. I have always been a fan. I really have loved watching him play for years and years and years and years and years. When he was in Cleveland, I liked watching him play. He's on Miami, I liked watching him play. When he came to LA, I was thrilled because he was on the team that I root for. I'm kind of over the social media stuff. I'm not saying that he should stop. I'm just saying that they're so cute that I'm just like, dude, stop.
In fairness to LeBron, there is not a human on the planet for whom social media isn't for them. More than you.
I get it. I get it. But it's
you are
not
so not the target audience.
I know. I'm fully aware, but it's still like, come on, man. Like, what was the other one we were talking about the other day? It was another social media thing, too, where it was, I don't know, and it, like, none of these are big deals in and of themselves, but it's just the accumulation of all these little things. Like, come on, man. Just
I understand, but I will say, the reason I think it's funny and I don't mind it is because I think it's a little bit of a troll job here. Like, this one struck me as like a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek kind of troll thing.
Then I'm in.
Right.
If
that, I thought just, that's what
is
I troll
in the Kings
because they beat him. I think it's a better thing to post if you beat the Kings.
He's just trolling because it is sort of a little, like you say, contrived. It's a little obnoxious on the King. It's like, and it's like, you know, with a little pen. If scribbles out the S, I think he's aware of your reaction, Travis.
If it's done specifically to aggravate me and people like me, then I change my tune. I go 180. Mm-hmm. I'm completely on the other side. If it's done intentionally to annoy,
but that's even worse for him. It just means he cares about all these voices.
Yeah, but he clearly does. That's not up for discussion, right? I mean, LeBron James,
but he doesn't want us to think that. But
just calls himself King James on his handles.
He does what we all do. Oh, I don't care what anybody says. Yes, we do. We all do.
Yes.
Everybody. Very, very few people care when that, I don't care what you think about me, very few people fall into that category.
And I tend to think those people are, like, there's something, like, chemically different about them in their brains. Like, they're quantifiably different. Because most people...
I don't care.
Yeah. And, like, you really... Really?
We all
really
do.
Don't. You all, but, like, in fact, like, Bron didn't name himself King James. They named him that.
But then he puts it on all his handles.
Because it's his brand. If you were somebody dubbed you King Emily,
Queen Emily,
either one, you know, you and that became your deal, like your brand, and like you know, it was in your financial interest to push that.
Well, Sports Illustrated didn't tattoo Chosen One on his back.
If you were the Chosen One of Board Ops,
I'll make you a deal.
Which I am.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. If you want Chosen One on your back, I'll pay for it. Like, we can go today if you want to.
It's better than the Jordan Farmar tattoo where he had his name, Farmar or whatever, but in that way where it's the same
the jersey.
Above and below. Like, if you flip him over, it also
image.
Says Farmar.
That's a thing. That's not an anagram.
No, it's not a palindrome. Yeah, it's not an anagram.
It's one of those.
Stupid
it's a
tattoo.
Something gram.
Yeah.
It's a dramagrome.
It's an expensive mistake is what it is.
The Sunday Ticket is leaving DirecTV after, forever, it certainly feels like. It's heading to YouTube, and YouTube got it for roughly $2.5 billion, or just a little bit more than half of what you could have got the Phoenix Suns for. I'm over the this guy's got this. Just as long as somebody's got it, I'll find it. Yeah. I don't really.
I mean, the kids watch YouTube these days. More people have access. People, why would you? More people have access, especially young people, and will pay attention and follow things on YouTube than NFL Sunday Ticket. It's much easier to find stuff and subscribe to things on YouTube than NFL Sunday Ticket.
Yes, however. And my only however is, and I'm a DirecTV customer, I still have it, and I can't even exactly tell you why, other than I love flipping channels, which you cannot do on streaming services. You have to go out of what you're looking and go through the next thing, and you can't just flip. I like that instantaneous flipping through channels.
Get off my lawn.
Emily, what did I say this morning? I understand that.
Four words.
Old. No.
Get I like, off my lawn.
Do you
lawn.
Not like flipping channels?
It's not a joy.
You don't like sitting on the couch mindlessly and just flipping through.
I don't mind going through the guide and seeing, oh, there's John Wick again.
You gotta
but like,
look for something specific where I just want to kind of run into something.
But like you,
oh my God,
you're making
Gilligan's Island's on.
You're making it sound like it's you wake up in the morning. No, it's channel flipping time. What are you doing today, Travis? Oh, I'm flipping through channels.
Brady Bunch is on TV Land. I had no idea. Let's watch
24
of those episodes.
Why not?
It's very funny to me because I have these one friend. They're engaged, and so they live together. And so I walked into their apartment for the first time, and I was just like, what? You guys have cable? And they're like 2 years older than me, so they're not very old. And then they're like, yeah, we love
it's
cable.
Like a Victrola.
I'm
sorry, could you speak louder and directly into my horn?
it's just a thing of a past. None of my friends have cable.
Eh?
That is my favorite old-timey thing. What is our solution to deafness? A giant horn.
Eh?
It captures sound.
Why wouldn't you have two? This is like, you look like a Viking. Like, why are we just speaking into one horn?
Because he only has loss in one ear.
Then go stand on the other side.
I mean, but like,
I feel like this was not well conceived.
I mean, it was a design that was improvable.
Let's do a little super crosstalk. All right, so we got a new jury in, and that I'm swearing Mason and Ireland in for jury duty here.
All right,
We've been debating so far. We only have one juror that's basically hanging the jury at this point as to what is Sliwa's cause of absence today.
So Sliwa's out today.
Sliwa is out today.
They had a wager.
Sliwa called or texted Greg at roughly 3 o'clock this morning saying, I don't feel well. Okay. I'm not coming.
All right. That's a reasonable time to call and say. I've done it later.
Sure.
Yes, you have. On many, many occasions.
12:52.
Sorry, guys.
Not feeling it.
Good luck. Now, he did say that if in the event that we got caught shorthanded, he could do it via Comrex if we had to, but he would really prefer not to.
All right.
We are just days away from basically most of us being off for a period of time.
Sure.
And so those last couple of days before vacation are always like, let's just get to the finish line. Start a day or two early.
Is Sli working next week?
He is not.
Is he planning on working tomorrow?
We'll get to that.
Okay. All right.
So he calls Greg, and obviously Brian comes in and does it. Greg did it the first hour for us today. But in addition to that, it's the holidays. In addition to that is the wager that Taylor and Al have had when the Kings and the Lakers play each other.
Reset the wager.
The loser has to wear the winner's jersey.
Okay, got it.
Okay,
for
so
an entire show.
For an well...
Nah.
Al wore it for a segment last time and then took it off like it was radioactive.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Kings win last night.
Yep.
Taylor has the jersey ready to go.
Nice.
No Sliwa. So the everybody on the jury, Brian, Taylor, myself, all of the tweeters today and callers, think that this was an attempt to dodge wearing the Kings jersey.
Okay. I tend to think that's probably true. But in a show of Lakers solidarity, I have an offer for you.
Okay.
If I wear the Bibby jersey for the entirety of today's show, is Sliwa off the hook?
That's up to Taylor.
Oh, my.
So, Taylor, I would argue I'm a more prominent Laker voice in this town than
the sacrificial lamb.
I'm offering as a Christmas present
a prisoner
to Sli.
Swap.
Exactly.
It's a prisoner swap. Yeah.
It is a prisoner swap. If I wear the Bibby jersey for the entirety of the Mason and Ireland show today, is Sli off the hook?
Wow.
Well, Slee's going to be wearing it two times more this year anyway, so I think he's off the hook.
I'll tell you what.
That is a bold gesture, by the way.
This is really a nice gesture.
Yeah. It is. I think,
and a hilarious one since we're streaming on YouTube today.
I think Sli is setting himself up to catch a waterfall of crap.
Yep.
And I would like to try and help him avoid that.
Your gesture doesn't make him any less a lying liar who tells lies.
And a coward.
No, but it deflects.
Who tells lies. Yeah.
Yeah.
It deflects. It's a bigger story. It's like wag the dog, you know. The president was involved in a sex scandal, and then they
start a war.
Start a fake war,
and nobody cares about
this. Why Ireland is a pro, because what he is doing right now makes him look great.
Yes.
Magnanimous. Team player,
except,
smart.
Except the part when I'm walking around in a Mike Bibby jersey. Right.
But you're doing
this is a good, strong play.
But right,
wait, Taylor, do you have it now?
And it makes Alan
look
worse.
Chocolate, actually.
All right. Yeah, it is. It's Jason Williams. Well, that's,
you brought white chocolate.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Well, if I am anything, I am hip. So let's let's see how it looks. Hold on.
All right. So,
do I believe Sli was dodging the bet?
Do you believe that he could have come to work but chose not to for all of the reasons, including the bet?
I find in favor of the rest of you.
prosecution?
I find in favor of the prosecution. Oh, God.
That's pretty great.
Oh, God. Look at John's got it on.
I will say, a uniform that starts with a nickname, White, does fit well with,
with
John Ireland.
On this staff,
he puts
it's
the
me.
White in white chocolate.
I do put the white in white chocolate.
It's all butter solids. So not a lot of cocoa.
Is Sli coming in tomorrow? That's
the next layer of this. Like, does it make it more or less believable that he was sick today if he does or does not show up tomorrow?
Well, but now it's irrelevant because I'm taking him off the hook, right? Well, if he shows up tomorrow, does he have to wear this?
That's again. This
no,
is
no, no,
yeah. no. You're, no, you're
he's
taking.
He's at home.
The debt has been
right
paid.
You're filling in for Slee. Yeah, literally the, filling in
no,
for Slee.
No, Taylor is the receiver here, yes, and he has agreed that the okay debt has been paid.
All right, but
all right.
So if he comes in, then it was 100% the bet. Because if he's sick, I mean,
if he's sick, then
you don't. Who
you
misses
know
the day of work before the day of work before you go on vacation?
Mason.
Wait a minute. The day of no. That's not true. The day of work before the last day of work.
Yes.
I never miss that one.
Yeah.
The day before, I do.
So you
would
have taken
miss
Wednesday off.
No,
or you'd take
no,
tomorrow
no
off.
I take tomorrow off. Well, yeah, I would not take the Thursday off.
Tomorrow, everybody's taking.
Yeah,
there's going to be a stomach
I've
flu that goes around
I've
tomorrow.
I've got a scratchy throat right now.
Well, I'm
just
already
warning
off
you.
You look like
off
you have a scratchy throat.
You guys are very jealous of me because I'm already off tomorrow because tomorrow night I leave for 12 days.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm doing Christmas tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's
I'm
right
with my whole family.
Are
my
you
mom
treating tonight like Christmas Eve? Is Jack going to
open
his
presents?
Doing?
You know what I'm doing tonight?
Hmm.
Spinning salad night at Lowry's.
Oh, are you?
That
not,
I do every year.
To get in there.
What
that
is that?
So
gotta
funny.
You got to make reservations like 3 months
I know
in advance.
I describe spinning salad.
Tell me
night
what that is. I don't know
Lowry's
what that is.
All right, Lowry's
in Beverly
the
Hills.
The prime rib in Beverly Hills, yeah, starting on right after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Does a Christmas dinner that is spectacular.
Yep.
Basically, everybody gets dressed up. They bring a cart to your table.
They're wearing costumes and stuff,
they have
right
carolers all dressed like they're from A Christmas Carol,
okay,
singing songs, and they do this giant flashy spinning salad at your table. Then they get the salad cart out of there and they bring the prime rib cart in and you pick exactly what you want and you can get the Yorkshire pudding or the potato, whatever you want, and they just load
and
it
it's
up.
It's all really old-fashioned-y.
Yeah, and to get in, they start, you can get in starting at 4:30. The first seating's at 4:30. We're going at 6:30. The last seating is at like 10, and you got to make reservations for next year, like next month.
No kidding.
Now,
yeah.
Have
how do
you
I
ever
not know
seen
about that
the spinning salad thing?
No. Okay.
You ever been to Five Crowns in Corona del Mar?
I have, yes.
Same thing.
Okay.
So
same
it, isn't it like
same
on, a, on a block of ice or something?
Yeah,
they bring it out, and then they spin the salad
yeah
bowl around, and
it
mixes
it
all up.
With tongs, and they're throwing
oh, it's like
stuff
fantastic
up in the air. And
it's fantastic.
I feel like this is something I would
it's
enjoy.
Like, it's like Benihana
oh, I'll take
for
some
salad.
I'll take some videos tonight and send them to you.
Yeah.
You would enjoy it. More, your family would like it more than you.
You go there, and you expect Tiny Tim to walk in. It really is.
Crutches and everything.
It really is very Dickens.
Everyone.
Yeah, no, it's really that's a great way to celebrate.
Yeah, so that's
pretend
that's
Christmas
tonight
Eve,
and then we'll come back and watch wrap presents and watch Love Actually for the 900th time.
Yep,
and then tomorrow morning we're doing Christmas, and then tomorrow night nothing says Christmas like Hornets Lakers.
Yeah, boy.
And then straight to Dallas.
Can I just can as I raise the bet with Broncos Rams 2-4-10?
Well, okay, you know you want
to yeah yeah.
This is how bad it's become. The standard default with our radio station is if there's a Ram game and a Laker game at the exact same time, since the Rams only have 17 games
right
and the Lakers have 90,
right?
We put the Rams on 7-10. Trav,
I know
you have hit rock bottom.
Oh no, you're going to 11-10.
Lakers on 7-10.
I know
Sunday you're going to 11-10.
No.
Yes,
that's how bad this season has become.
Wow. For
the Rams are underdogs at home to a 4-10 team.
What's the line?
2.5.
2.5.
Which is also the over-under.
I would take the Rams with that if I had to bet it.
Yeah, we in our little pick-ems that we do on Thursdays, I did take the Rams.
Oh, a little Baker magic on Christmas
right,
Day.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So when I did the Rams pre and post, or excuse me, Lakers pre and post for a couple of years, we had two Christmas games the 2 years I did it, but they were both like 7 o'clock tips. They were late, so it didn't really.
Were they were probably home, right?
They were home. One was a Clipper home game, I want to say,
okay,
at one point. I think they played the Clippers and the Mavs are the two teams I saw them play.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was late, and it was fun, and it was no. I got to spend the whole day with my family. It really didn't impact like
sure
Christmas. This obviously Rams game. It's in the middle of the day. I'm going to be up in Santa Barbara for Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, so I got to get down here to what it. Well, you're be on the road, right?
Yeah.
What is being away from home from your family at Christmas? And I've never had to do this before. It's weird.
I've only been away twice, and both times we were able to come back like right after Christmas. This is. Leave on the night of the 23rd, come back on January 3rd.
Mm.
So we're basically out for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day,
damn,
New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. I don't know. I'll tell you after it's over. We've never done it before. I was talking to Stu Lance last night. We've never had two back East trips in the same month like we have right now. We have we were back east. I was in D.C. and Philadelphia and everything, and now we're going back. We're going to Miami and Orlando and Charlotte and Atlanta.
At least you're going south, because up north there's like
the polar vortex,
the cyclone boom.
The it's game like, tonight,
we name all these things.
The,
right?
What's it? Jags Jets tonight, right?
Yes,
is supposed to be a snow game. It's supposed to start going nuts today.
Snow games are kind of fun to look at.
They're fun to look at until you realize that nothing's actually happening.
The football's
terrible. Like once you get your 5 minutes of that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
in the snow, I have no interest.
Hey, you guys were talking earlier about records that'll never be broken.
Right.
Michael and I brought this up the other day on the air. I'm curious what you guys think. Which one of these records is more likely to be broken? All right. Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game or A.C. Green's 1,192 consecutive games played?
I thought you used different A.C. Green.
I think it's got to be the A.C. Green, right? Nobody's scoring 100. Right, nobody's scoring 100.
It's easy 100 points.
Really?
I disagree.
I'm going 100 points, too.
I'm Clay, going A.C. Green.
Clay once had 60 in three quarters.
It's 37 and one, right?
Right.
But it's got to be
some guy gets hot from three, somebody like Steph, and gets unconscious, then I could see the 100 points. A.C. Green, I mean, a couple years ago, the guy who led the league in games played led it at 74. Like, the only person who never, ever misses games, no matter what, is Mikal Bridges in Phoenix has never missed a game in high school, college, or NBA.
No kidding.
And he's only in like his third or fourth year.
Okay.
So he's going to play another 11 or 12 years without ever missing a game.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath on either one. I mean, the situation with 100's got to be so unique. You've got to score 100, and the game's got to be close because
enough.
Otherwise you look bad.
All right.
Well, part of what made 81, for example, work is that the Lakers were behind for a lot of that game and needed to win.
Yes.
So, I mean, people are like, that was for a long time, that was just a game
they
were going to blow to a bad team.
For baseball one, Trav. Ted Williams batting 406 or Pete Rose 44 straight hitting streak?
Well, Rose at 44 or DiMaggio at 56.
Well, 56 with DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Let's go DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Make it harder.
I think you're going to find here's somebody that I think could have broken it had he spent his entire career in Major League Baseball. It's a dude like Ichiro, right?
Yeah.
Where you have unbelievable skill as a hitter. You get 230 hits a year,
right?
And you can run, right? Like Trey Turner, when he was with the Dodgers, he'd get an infield hit or two a week.
Yeah, right.
Rose got a lot of infield hits.
Rose got a lot of infield hits, too. I don't think it's going to be somebody like a Freddie Freeman or a Mookie Betts.
No.
I always thought Tony Gwynn might be able to do it.
Tony Gwynn came close to
388.
Yeah, 388.
And
yeah.
Then you know what happened?
Didn't
he have a 388 and a 392,
I think?
Yeah,
but one of those was a strike
394
year.
Okay. Was the strike year.
Okay.
George Brett hit 390 in a full season in 1980.
Right.
So he got really close. But you have to run really well for both of those streaks.
Yep.
I think 2 months without getting a hit.
I also think scouting is too good now.
Well, they're going to get rid of the shift.
That's going to make a difference.
It will help. But also
bigger bases, clown-sized bases are coming in.
Yeah.
That's weird.
People pitch differently, though, than they used to.
Well, you don't get that third and fourth at-bat off of some guy that's thrown 120 pitches.
And the other thing is you face a guy throwing 100, then a different guy throwing 100, then a different guy throwing 100, because everybody's going bullpen, bullpen, bullpen,
right.
And you're facing the biggest, liveliest arms
Michael got mad at me because I the year where Wilt averaged 50, over 50 a game, almost 26 rebounds a night, 48 and a half minutes per game.
Damn.
Didn't win the MVP that year, by the way.
Really?
Wasn't enough.
Who got it?
Bill Russell. Part of what makes that possible, and he got mad at me, J.J. Redick's line is like, they're playing against plumbers and carpenters and all that other stuff. It's not that nobody else was good. Like, Oscar Robertson averaged a triple-double that year, and Elgin put up
math. It's that the 10th guy on the
team
is not very good.
That's
right.
What it is. The 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th guy on an NBA roster now is light years better than they were in the 60s.
Except,
and it's the same way,
except if you're us.
So right. Here,
the same way pitching.
Yeah.
Here's
we're
what
the exception that proves the rule.
Yes.
Here's my last request for you guys, because I am off tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
I am off tomorrow, so Merry Christmas to all you guys.
Merry
Happy holidays,
Christmas,
all that.
Yeah.
Enjoy. If Al is here tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he will be.
No.
But if he is here tomorrow, I need you to interrogate the witness.
Oh, no question.
Okay, you'll do that.
Yeah, he, no, has that. He has to call in sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he has no choice.
But now but
to
he's call off the hook, now. So it's not.
Yeah, but he's still going to have to deal with the fact that he partially tried to duck it.
Who
yeah.
the hell's doing your show? Is it like Taylor and Emily
I believe
doing the show?
It's, the Big CY is filling in for me tomorrow. Yes.
Got it.
I don't know. I think, I mean, Brian, are you
Brian, have you gotten the call?
I have not, but as we like to say, it's Best of Crane.
Yes. Yes.
Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you.
That's pretty good.